Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Dr. Maura Finn, good morning.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Very, very well. Now, even though this has been explained to me about five or six times during my lifetime, I need it explained to me again. And I'm thinking there's probably an awful lot of people out there who do as well. And if we're going to have a big conversation about blood pressure, we need to know the difference between systolic and diastolic and what the blood pressure numbers mean. Have you got a dummy's guide, please?
Okay. Well, essentially, your blood pressure is a measure of the pressure your heart and blood vessels are under. So it's the force exerted by the pumping blood through the blood vessels. And it really, I suppose, it's a measure of how fit your heart is. That's an easy way to look at it. The numbers, people get confused about these all the time, but what we call normal blood pressure is 120, which is systolic, the high number, over 80, which is diastolic, the low number. So the high number is essentially when your heart is pumping and constricted, and the low number is when the heart is relaxed. Now, the 120 over 80 is a guide, you know, so there's a range between... We usually get excited about your blood pressure if your systolic is over 140 consistently, mm-hmm. and if your diastolic is over 90 consistently. And the lower numbers, and I know a lot of people are kind of concerned about low blood pressure, but the lower numbers are generally a reflection of health and fitness. So people shouldn't be so concerned about the lower numbers.
So 120 over 80 ideally, but in the range of what?
Well, if we have numbers that are consistently over 140 over 90, that's when we start to get concerned about treating blood pressure.
And at the other end?
And at the other end, we very rarely treat low blood pressure because if we do treat low blood pressure, what we're doing is bringing up your blood pressure and possibly causing problems. You do treat low blood pressure if somebody is having repeated falls or faints, and that's quite an unusual situation. So low blood pressure is actually quite normal. It's particularly normal in young, fit, healthy people. It's normal in early pregnancy. Some elderly people suffer from it as well. But what we tend to do is get you to drink more fluids, take more salt in your diet, maybe use support stockings to help bring up the blood flow back up to your heart. So the low blood pressure isn't as important really as high blood pressure.
Okay. All right, to the questions then, Maura. Hi, Philip. Could you ask Dr. Maura Finn if people with hypertension have fared worse if they contract COVID-19? Also, is it recommended that where possible people with hypertension should be facilitated to work remotely?
Okay, well, because hypertension is so common, 60% of over 45s will have high blood pressure. It would be the commonest comorbidity or background problem that somebody would have when they develop COVID-19. But there's differing figures about whether or not they fare more badly. If they've been treated for hypertension and they're treated well, the outcomes seem to be just as good as anybody else. If, however, they have undiagnosed hypertension, undiagnosed blood pressure, not on any treatment and they're not managed, then they may not do well. And that would correlate as well with somebody who isn't actually looking after themselves so well, maybe is overweight, not very fit or healthy as well, and maybe haven't actually gone for checkup and see that the blood pressure is high. And if you don't check, if you don't ask for your blood pressure to be checked, you won't know whether it's high or not, because it generally is asymptomatic.
So the second part of their question about being facilitated to work remotely, I'm reading between the lines there and guessing that what they're asking is hypertension to be considered an underlying condition?
I feel that because it is such a high prevalence in the community, it would be impossible to consider it an underlying condition from the point of view of employers. If it's unmanaged high blood pressure with complications, or somebody who's having very severe difficulty getting their blood pressure under control, there could be a case made there. But for people who have blood pressure and it's been managed well, I wouldn't think it should be considered that.
Chris in Dublin, male 29, he says, very briefly and to the point, consistently slightly low blood pressure, should I be concerned?
No. Another short answer. No, not at all. If he's fit and healthy, 29, it probably is just a reflection of him being very well. And if it's slightly low blood pressure that causes problems, you stand up suddenly and you nearly fall to the floor or you faint, you know. So if he's not having any issues like that, I wouldn't be concerned at all.
Dear Dr. Finn, please can you comment on hypertension-related headaches, why and how they manifest, how best to treat, etc. Thank you. A 49-year-old female with recent onset persistent headache, generally low blood pressure and possible white coat hypertension.
That would be a little concerning because headaches associated with high blood pressure tend to only really present if somebody has a very high blood pressure, like their systolic number, that top number would be over 180 or more. The problem with blood pressure often, it is asymptomatic. You don't have any symptoms. So if this is a 49-year-old lady who's suddenly developing new symptoms of a headache, I would be more concerned that there could be something else behind that.
Well, I was just going to say, how would she know? How would anybody know that a headache comes from hypertension?
See, she may have decided that's what it is, but it could actually be that she's, you know, having a stress-related headache, a tension-related headache, dehydration-related headache, something else. But any new headache that hasn't, it's new and different, we always would suggest you investigate it fully. She's 49 too. It may be related to hormonal changes. So I would suggest talking to her GP would be a good idea about that. I wouldn't just assume that's related to her blood pressure.
She mentions white coat hypertension there. This is when people in your profession give people like me anxiety attacks when you wrap the cuff around her arm.
I know, and we don't mean to, you know.
So how do you combat that? Do you test again later on when the person seems a little bit more relaxed?
And normally then you've already discussed something else that upset them. So that doesn't really work. Actually, what we do is we usually recommend what's called a 24-hour blood pressure monitor. So you get a cuff put on and a monitor is attached to you for 24 hours for the day. And it takes random readings throughout the day. And it is really the gold standard to figure out if you actually really genuinely have blood pressure or not. Because our blood pressure fluctuates throughout the day. It's meant to. It's how we manage stress or difficulty or, you know, rest if we'll go down at night time. So we get a very good consistent readings. And with that, then we look at the figures and we see how many of those readings are above a level that would need treating. And that's when we can bypass that white coat aspect of blood pressure taking.
Okay. A very respectful and formal text here begins, Dear Dr. Finn, my daughter who is 21 has at different stages of her life since the age of 3, episodes where she has almost fainted but remained conscious. These episodes have become more frequent in recent years with 2 in the last 12 months. Worryingly, the recent episodes have become coupled with a loss of vision for a few minutes. She always comes around after a few minutes, but it's distressing for her and whoever she's with at the time. Her GP says it's most likely down to the fact that she has low blood pressure and she did see a neurologist who said he saw no reason to suggest that it was anything sinister. Is there any medication for low blood pressure or anything that she can do to raise it? Well, you kind of answered that already, haven't you?
Yeah, well, there are medications for low blood pressure in extreme cases, and she possibly is one of these. But then I must say I'm glad she saw a neurologist, because you would be concerned that there may be something more there, like it may be a form of absent seizures. It could be low blood sugar that's happening as well. So, it's been happening for a long period of time. She recovers completely, and that's very reassuring. However, if it happened in a situation where she were driving or where she were out somewhere and she fell and she hurt herself, it is a bit of a concern. So that would be when we would consider introducing medication for our low blood pressure, if that's what it's proven to be. But I'd say she needs some further investigations, really.
This is interesting. By coincidence, 2 texts come in back to back asking the same question, but from different points of view. Somebody wants to know, are saunas good for blood pressure control? And somebody else wants to know, is dipping in and out of cold water good for blood pressure control?
Well, I think that there was actually, I mean, the Scandinavians are great fans of saunas, and they would be of the belief that it does improve your general health to be using saunas.
But beliefs are not evidence-based now, are they, Dr. Finn?
Probably not. And I did come across one study from Finland, actually. So, but it may have been a study trying to prove a point as opposed to being really evidence-based. But they, you know, the background to that would be possibly like a good overall healthy attitude to life and to exercise and to fitness anyway. Saunas in themselves obviously increase your blood pressure when you go in them initially because of the heat and your heart is working harder. But the theory would be that like increasing your blood pressure and heart rate with exercise, the sustained benefits actually are good for you, but it's hard to say. And I wouldn't like to say one way or another. I do know that, you know, if you have low blood pressure or in early pregnancy, we tend to advise you to keep away from very hot scenarios like jacuzzis or saunas, because it can actually drop your blood pressure suddenly. So, you know, if you have uncontrolled blood pressure or are unwell in any way, I would say avoid it. It wouldn't be a treatment that we would advise, if I can kind of hedge my bets that way.
And finally, I think Breda must have trick-or-treating, which we can't do this year, obviously, on mind with this question when she asks, "Hi, just wondering if eating too much licorice can cause high blood pressure."
But you know what? I have come across people saying that it's a treatment for low blood pressure. So, you know, I mean, it may be, you know, the way most...
Would that be aniseed?
Possibly, because most medication has come from a herbal natural source originally. So it possibly could. Now, the other aspect of that is that, you know, if you're taking a lot of licorice, you're taking a lot of sugar, you're increasing your risk of diabetes and weight. And, you know, so I wouldn't, again, it wouldn't be a treatment choice.
It's great for your blood pressure, says the person with the teeth falling out of their head.
Okay, exactly.
All right. Exactly. That's all we have time for. Dr. Maura Finn, thank you very much. Take care.